Culture Rich Conversations on Juno Afternoon is sponsored in part by Mark Stofa and Sarah Hannon of the Alaska Wild Salmon Company, delivering fresh salmon to Juno homes since 2006. Learn more at goodsalmon.com or 907-321-4997.
Today's show is a collaboration between the Black Awareness Association of Juno and KTOO. I'm your host, Christina Michelle, and today I am joined by a very special guest, Miss MC Mahogany Magnetic. I wish you could see the energy that's going on here on the screen. Mahogany is just here in a beautiful green kind of glow going on with her lipstick and her neon shirt and her hat that says, feel well, live well. I love it. It's perfect. Welcome, Mahogany.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being here today. I've been looking forward to this all week, you know, the last couple of weeks, I would say. I even had to make a Facebook post about it last night. I said, yeah, I got an interview on the Black Awareness Association in Juno.
Yes. You know? Yes.
We arrived.
Well, I know that I was super excited when I first learned about you, and I went to your website and I just started reading about you and listening to some of your recordings. And actually, let me just share with our listeners your bio right now. MC Mahogany Magnetic resides in Middle Earth, aka Midtown Anchorage, Alaska, at her Wonder Woman hideout with her cat, Zora Neale Hurston, and guinea pig, Gwen Leon Brooks. In the fifth grade, this Wonder Woman used to be known as Kid Dynamite because her rhymes exploded minds upon impact. A veteran of the U.S. Coast Guard, she has also earned degrees in anthropology, forensic death investigation, English, and currently working on her MFA in creative writing and literary arts at UAA. Some of her works have been published in print and in online anthologies and journals, including Building Fires in the Snow, Queer Magic, Power Beyond Boundaries, Lit Cat, and the International Women Poetry Movement Anthology. Her self-published poetry and short story books, BFAP, or BFAP, Insightings at the Bus Stop, and Everything and Nothing at the Same Time, can be purchased on Amazon. Magnetic's list of accolades also include riding her bicycle 100 miles in one day, jumping over five cars on her bike, and chaining herself to a tree for justice, equality, and respect for all people. She loves writing poetry every day, smoking, eating cannabis, watching Divorce Court, and taking candy from babies. I love your bio. What's up with taking candy from babies, though?
Yeah, well, we don't do that anymore. That's an old bio, you know? I don't sell candy, take candy from babies anymore. The new bio states that my favorite pastime is selling Tide Pods to crusty children and dusty adults who all want to be fresh and clean.
I love that. I read that too.
Yeah. I'm working on a new novel, my next novel. And guys, what can I share? I can share that part because I talk about it, right? But one of the inner story of this novel, it's a novel about a writer writing a novel while in quarantine. And the story that she's writing is about this gang of laundry detergent pod dope dealers. So just, you know, replace crack cocaine, replace meth, replace dope, replace everything with laundry detergent pods. And that's like what's going on in the story. So I say that to keep me in the mind state of that story. Most people are like, what? Yeah, okay, whatever. That'll make any sense, or you're crazy, or my one friend, my neighbor's like, that's illegal. I said, no, it isn't. You can sell Tide Pods. What people do with them is on them. If they're gonna eat the Tide Pods or wash their clothes, whatever. Yeah, okay. So Christina, check this out. I have this my little introduction poem that I always do when like I'm in front of new crowds for the first time. And it goes, back up, give me 50 feet. I'm on the mic to make the cipher complete. Your favorite poetess, spitting her verse, even if a rhyme slow, put the gear in reverse. Your girl over here sparking up mad isms. That's right, you heard me. a cataclysm, an explosion, if you will. So let go and act ill with mahogany. Yes, just like the tree, magnetic, as in magnetically, with that Bagua style kung fu. MC for dropping mad clues. So the ball is in your court. What you gonna do next? I don't show you my good side and I'm still vexed. There's nothing wrong. You can't fix me. I'm a lady, but still rip off my clothes like Bill Bixby. Then turn all sexy green on your... Then it's like She-Hulk smash. And your entire paradigm has been terror transformed. Game over. Magnetic wins. Insert coin.
Let me do the finger snap. Yes.
So I did an introduction, wanted to say a little bit about myself, and then two, make sure people know how to pronounce my name. You know what I'm saying? Mahogany, magnetic. Because like, oh my goodness, some people's like mahogany, all kinds of things with the mahogany part. Sometimes a lot of folks in the family different just call me Mo, and that's cool. And then, but magnetic, oh my gosh, I've been called everything from magenta to the majestic. And then this one friend of mine, like a year or two ago, gonna call me magnesium. I was like, at least you got me on a periodic table. That's cool. But do you understand what magnetic means, what magnetism is? You know, it's a universal force in the universe. It's a force of nature. Like, you don't see it, but you feel it all the time.
Yes.
So being magnetic also has like, yeah, it's the law of attraction, but there's also repulsion there too. And if you like, boom, tap in some electricity, then it's electromagnetic. But also have this type of energy that I don't need an electric charge. I generate my own energy, you know, from my own core, my own being. And so, yeah, that's just, you know, a little intro piece.
Are you really into the law of attraction?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, like, oh, so yeah, so that's the other thing that's not in the bio, right? Because since then, that thing, I have my MFA now in creative writing and literary arts. And my first novel, The Mad Fantastic 2098, is out there in the universe and stuff. It's on ProQuest right now, but I'm working on finding a publisher, agent, to like really get some distribution on that. And then I'm currently working on my second master's degree, forensic DNA and serology. Say that because like when you ask me about the law of attraction, I'm a scientist. I'm an archaeologist. I've been a historical archaeologist since like 1996. I worked on, you know, African-American plantations in Texas, Georgia, South Carolina, New York. And then we did some archaeology in my first year or so up here in Alaska in 2013. So yeah, it's scientific, you know. Then I'm a poet, I'm a creative writer. So all of that stuff is in there. And I had this friend right before I transitioned, which we're gonna talk about that a little bit. But he used to comment like, oh, you're mad magnetic everywhere you go, just attract people and everything. And it's true, it is true. Because I'm like, I'm an open book in a sense, I don't know, and it's just the energy that I emit. A lot of people feel comfortable with talking to me about anything, whether it's race, whether it's gender or it's mental health and everything. So it's like, yeah, so, and it's a lot of fun being, you know, me and magnetic, like, yeah.
Well, I feel the magnetism coming from you, and I'm just so excited about this interview. If you're just joining us, we are here with MC Mahogany Magnetic. I'm your host, Christina Michelle, and this is a collaboration between the Black Awareness Association of Juneau and KTOO. So Mahogany, I know that this was one of the things that I found most fascinating about you, and I was wondering if you could take us back to the day that you chained yourself to a tree outside of the police department there in Anchorage. What was happening?
Okay, so one, it wasn't a tree, it wasn't outside the police department.
Okay.
The federal court building downtown.
Oh, dang.
I chose that location strategically, right? Because I wanted to raise the issue of me, you know, being sexually assaulted. I don't know if you could say racially assaulted, if that's a thing, but all that was
it's a thing,
right? Racial assault, right? Ethnic assault, you know, just hate crimes, just hate crimes, you know? So strategically, in order to like take my issue that I was having and put it in the sphere of like global issues, especially for transgender, non-binary women and femme identified. So it was like, boom, I'm in Alaska, Anchorage, that takes care of the city. Here I'm on federal property that makes it state, that makes it federal, because it was a civil disobedience, right? And so in order to expand my message, which I always do, yeah, you know, some horrible things happen to me, but it's greater than me. And in this particular situation, I think that was like a late September 2017. Yeah, late September, because it was just after Labor Day, a few weeks after Labor Day. But that particular Thursday before Labor Day, I'm out in Wasilla with my friend, and she was picking up this armoire thing from some people she bought on Craigslist. So I was like, cool, you know, so I'm waiting on her, you know, we packed it in the truck and she's spending time talking to the lady that lives there and stuff. And so the man that lives there, this old man, whatever, he was talking to his friend initially, but I was just sitting there minding my own business. And so he like, you know, decides to stop talking to his friend and address me. And he's like, are you a woman or a man or a woman? I said, I'm a woman. Can't you tell by, you know, my dress, my nails, my lipstick? And on that day I had on black lipstick, a black matte lipstick on. And he grabs my head, my face, and twists my neck and says, I can't tell your lips apart from your face because you're black. Oh my goodness. I pulled away. I was trying to get away from him. And that's when he goes to like lift up my dress and everything. It's like, prove you're a woman.
Oh my God.
Oh my goodness. And so we did. We managed to get out of there, right? And I wasn't sure what to do next. But I mean, all for the rest of the day, you know, through the night, early morning, I cried about it. And then I called STAR, Standing Together Against Rape. I think that's what it stands for. Their hotline. And they was like, yeah, you know, you do have a case here and you should definitely report it. So I called up the Alaska State Troopers to report it. And so the officer I spoke with, this is in the morning, like say like 8, 9 o'clock in the morning. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'm gonna investigate this. Da, 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 da. I gave him my name and my information and stuff, told him that I'm a woman, you know, and everything. But all my gender marker had already been changed on my ID, right? So a few hours later, he calls me back. And initially, when he didn't do this before, he was misgendering me, right? And I was like, okay. So basically, you know, he said that he had talked to those people and it's an unreportable crime. I'm like, unreportable crime? What's an unreportable crime? And so he was like, okay, I'm doing a little write-up and everything. I was like, what is this? So I spent all day that following Sunday calling the different offices, the different Alaska State Trooper offices around the state. What's a non-reportable crime? What's a non-reportable crime? And I was like, oh, no, don't know. Finally, somebody got on the phone and said that it was some of the language they use inside language, right? And I'm like, look, I'm a Coast Guard veteran. I did law enforcement and everything. One thing that you don't do is you don't use your internal language with people in the public. You don't use that language with the civilians, you know? So what it basically boiled down to, that what happened to me was not worth, you know, a half a paragraph, less than 200 words of him doing work on paper, you know, and typing it up. And I knew it was like half a page because, you know, with the state troopers and the law enforcement and stuff, they write in boxes. You know, say, so you ever seen the form? They don't have to be smart people. They just got to have credits and hours and stuff like this. They don't have to have a college degree in most states and cities and stuff. So I knew it wasn't a lot of work for him to do, but that's what he said. It was non-reportable crime. So I was like, boom. Okay, so I called the police chief, the Alaska State Troopers, several times until I finally got him on the phone and was speaking to him. And basically he said, oh, I'm gonna talk to the officer and this and whatever. And he was misgendering me. I was recording that conversation too. And I posted, I think it's on the internet somewhere still. But I was so upset about it, right? And I was with my friend and I was like, what do I need to do? And just a few days before, it was the first time, at least the first time that it resonated, I came across a black and white photo of Wonder Woman being chained to a tree. And then just something that said to me, it's like, what do I need to do to get justice, you know, to get some respect? Do I need to chain myself to a tree? And I was like, that's exactly what I did. Chain myself to a tree.
Yes.
So I found my spot, went in there like super early, like about went over there about like 4 or 5 in the morning, long before the sun came up. And of course, no one's paying attention to some black woman or whatever sitting on by a tree or whatever, you know, figured I was homeless or whatever and everything, just a street person. And I played it that way. And I watched the security all morning, walked back and forth, watched people go to the job and everything. So as soon as the sun comes up, whatever, you know, a police officer comes and was like, hey, I got a report that Wonder Woman was chained to a tree. Like, yeah. I was on that tree for like 12 hours straight. But after 8 hours, like, oh no, I'm done. I can go. But I said, well, Mahogany, you know, so you on this Wonder Woman stuff. So you got to at least put in like 12 hours. If a regular person does 8 hours of footwork, a good sheet road is going to do 12 hours. So I had to do 12 hours. So from like 6 a.m. to like 6 p.m., I was chained.
I love how intentional you are and how well thought out this plan was.
it was total, it's methodic, like you don't mess with the wrong person. A lot of people for a long time, and maybe still to this day, you know, we're just gonna make this assumption because I'm African American, I'm black or whatever, and then I'm trans, that I'm not smart, that I'm not intelligent, that I don't have no understanding of freedom struggle, right? And struggle, but I do. And like I said, I'm 45 years old. Since I was 14 years old, I've been engaged and involved in community activist work. And I've been a part of all different types of organizations, from nonviolent, you know, organizing and protesting with the NAACP, to being there in Texas in 1997, you know, marching, you know, with Black Panthers and other armed militia, you know, African-American militia groups against the Ku Klux Klan. And then, you know, later on, we was marching, and then we was at this rally in Huntsville. I think it was 2000. Yeah, 2000, because that's when Gary Graham, Chaka Sankofa, or Gary Graham was executed in Houston, in Hinesville, in Texas. He's originally from Houston. But nevertheless, we was there. It was all on CNN and everything. I had my face all covered. All you could see was my eyes and stuff, right? And I mean, helicopters was over the area and stuff. So all us protesters is anti-death penalty, all us revolutionary black folk or whatever and stuff like this. We like over here. And then there's the sheriff department of the prison police on one side. And then behind them was the Klan over there. So it was a big mess and everything. But it was oh my gosh, it was such a hot day too. And then when I got home, my auntie called me. She's like, I saw you on TV, bad guys. I've been involved in so much struggle and activism. And then when I get here and I find myself, you know, I just started transitioning in a place where there was no organizations that would stand with me, right? Because like, you know, the people in the LGBT club, you know, plus community, Alphabet Soup folks was like, you're black, we ain't trying to feel that, right? And then the black folks was like, you're gay, you're a girl, whatever, what's going on with you? They wasn't feeling that either. So I was left and I was forced to stand alone many times, time and time again. And that wasn't the first time that I was like discriminated against and it became a public thing. In 2013, I was banned 86 from life from Humpies for using a ladies' restroom. And then in 2015, a bus driver on Anchorage Municipality, the People Mover, was harassing me after I told him, you know, asking for my ID, right? He kept asking for my ID. I'm like, wait a second, you're not asking for other people's
ID on the bus.
Right. I said, you're a bus driver. You're not the TSA, right? You don't need to know my gender to ride the bus. And then we're talking about my student ID, right? Which don't say anything about gender. It's just your name and your student number. Time and time again, I've had to stand alone and fight my battles. I don't know, but one other African-American trans woman, non-binary woman here in Anchorage or whatever. I know one that lives out in the valley somewhere. My other friend who was here, who was just as visible in community as I am, left a couple years ago. So it's just like only me here, but goodness gracious, it's been a struggle. but I learned to stand on my own and fight my own battles on grounds. But even in fighting my own battles on ground, I elevate them because it's a global issue. And we're talking about this, is that I am not discriminated against because I'm transgender, right? I'm discriminated against because I'm a woman. And there's a major difference in how men are treated when people go from being, you know, move from female to male, right? They consider that moving up because you're a man now, right? Here, have a beard, woo, 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 chuck. But many people in our society, because it's so misogynistic and everything, being a woman is a step down. I'm like, really? So it's like, I know, like in a larger picture, I'm not being hated on because I'm trans. I'm being hated on because I'm a woman. I'm being hated on because I have African, beautiful black skin. I get it. I know that. I see that. So I have to do my best when speaking and dealing with the things that deal with just me and illuminate and show how much it involves us all. None of us are free until all of us are free.
So, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation with MC Mahogany Magnetic. Welcome back to A Juno Afternoon. We have the pleasure here of being with Miss MC Mahogany Magnetic today. And we were just having a conversation, just getting to know Mahogany a little bit. And she was sharing some of her struggles as a African-American transgender woman and a creative artist. And so we're just going to continue this conversation.
I have a poem here. It's called Grimy Mofos on the Moon. And it was inspired by some grimy mofos on the moon. And I just want to give credit what credit is due. A virus done got my sister Nell with grimy mofos on the moon. She done lost her taste and her smell and grimy mofos on the moon. I can't pay these doctor bills for grimy mofos on the moon. 10 years from now, I'll be paying still while grimy mofos on the moon. The man just upped my rent last night because grimy mofos on the moon. No hot water, no toilets, no lights, but grimy mofos on the moon. I wonder why he's upping me because grimy mofos on the moon. I was already paying $150 a week with grimy mofos on the moon. Streaming services taking my whole damn check. Anti-masters making me a nervous wreck. The price of cable is going up. And if all that ish was enough, a virus done got my sister Nell with grimy mofos on the moon. She done lost her taste and her smell, but grimy mofos on the moon. With all that money I made last year with grimy mofos on the moon, how come there ain't no money here? Grimy mofos on the moon. You know, I've just about had my fill of grimy mofos on the moon. I think I'll send these Netflix bills overnight delivery to grimy mofos on the moon. I love that piece. And what I love about it most is that I was asked back in February of this year to cover Gil Scott Heron. And he was a poet out of New York. He was like one of the first, if not the first, like really recorded spoken word artists. And, you know, he used to do these music. And he really couldn't sing, but he would sing anyway. And so he had this poem that he wrote in 1969. It was called Whitey on the Moon. So when they asked me to cover it, I said, oh, yeah, yeah, I cover it. Totally make it mine. Let me update it. So instead of talking about a virus, he's like, a rat done bit my sister Neil, right? Instead of like the anti-mask, it's like a junkie's making me a nervous wreck, you know? So I was like, yeah. I was like, yeah, it's a fun piece. And it's like spot on in terms of
yes.
time and where we at. It's like, we're down here struggling, you know what I'm saying? People dying mm-hmm. on ventilators and stuff. Oh my goodness, all kinds of, you know, people in our family, you know, grandma's gone, grandpa's gone, Corona got them, right? Mm-hmm. And then you got young people, you know, it's just, and you just sending people to Mars, like, it ain't nothing. You got money for this, money for that, but you're not helping people here. And it's tragic. It's tragic, but it's a fun piece though, too. Like,
I need a t-shirt that says grimy mofos on the moon.
Yeah, totally. That'd be the thing. Like, because it's like, for me, like, I was like, yeah, I could say whitey on the moon, but it's just not as strong as grimy mofos on the moon. Because, you know, there's equality or whatever. It's sending black folks in space. It's sending women in space. Yeah? But they still grimy on the moon. Lord have mercy. Good time.
So you've been doing this since you were really young. Mm-hmm. I read that you actually started writing poetry in fifth grade. You actually had a name already.
Yeah. My auntie, the one who, like I said, who called, saw me on TV, still to this day, she calls me Kid Dynamite. And I just, oh my gosh, she's just so adorable when she says that. But you know, I'm not a kid anymore. I've grown up and everything. So it's like MC Mahogany Magnetic.
Yes.
Yeah, I do remember like in the fifth grade, before class started and at the lunchroom, instead of, you know, doing my lessons or whatever and stuff, I was just sitting there writing raps and writing poems just so I can be ready for the little cipher at lunchtime. Like, yeah, I'm ready. Let's go. And so I've been on it like since then. However, it was like, it didn't really become poetry, did not really like infuse in my every thought until 2010 when I had my first psychotic break. Soon after that, a week later, I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder and PTSD. This is why I was still active duty Coast Guard. And the thing was, is that like, In that mania, if you've ever experienced it or seen someone who's manic, you know, one of the symptoms is these racing thoughts, right? Yeah. So like a lot of times, and ever since then, I mean, my mind, like it moves so fast. The thoughts are racing so much. It's like poetry is like the closest that I can get to capturing those thoughts, mm-hmm. the closest. And a lot of times I don't catch them. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, I was like, sometimes like, man, I forgot what I was thinking. I've gotten to a point like, okay, let it go. There'll be some more thoughts to come along right here, right away. So and sometimes they just be going so fast and the only way to like capture that because poetry is condensed language. There's a lot you can say in 12 lines or 16 lines, or how many verses, even a haiku, 3 lines and 5, 7, 5 in terms of the syllable count. So, but you're packing all of that those emotions and feelings and ideas and just those, that little bit of space with what you have. Since then, like I said, 2010, like all day, every day. And it's very difficult for me to have a straight conversation without like metaphors, without poems. I mean, goodness gracious, I don't try. I just not try at all, but things just be rhyming. It's just the way that things fall in place. Like, okay, I didn't intentionally do that, but yeah, but sometimes it's a challenge. I think it's become, speaking poetically all the time is definitely a challenge in some of my interpersonal relationships because I'm always talking about love, right? But you know, whether that's romantic, platonic, whatever, and then first get it all twisted between the two, they can't tell when I just want to be their friend, and they can't tell when like, hey, I want you to, like, you know, like, so it's really confusing in dealing with me. And I know that I'm aware of that. I don't know how to make that better at all, but I have to be me 24/7, 365. So it's just what it is.
Are there other members of your family that are dealing with bipolar? Are you the first that you know of?
No, I'm not the first. Okay. But it is my family, and a lot of times with mental health issues, those things are confidential, so I can't share that. I do have family members who are dealing with, you know, not just bipolar, but PTSD as well, too. Bipolar is hereditary. You know, one thing I can't say that I inherited that part from my biological father. Mm-hmm. And the PTSD, the post-traumatic, you know, stress disorder, it's not necessarily hereditary, but I come from a military family. And, you know, I think everybody in my immediate family, my mom, my dad, I got three younger brothers, and even my sisters and sister-in-laws would have all been in the military in one branch or the other. We've got them all covered, except for the Navy. But I was in the Coast Guard, my brother was in the Marines, so we got the Navy covered pretty much. So with that, you know, so I have a lot of family members who've been to war and combat and seen some things, or in my situation being a first responder and seeing some horrible things out there, the water. So that's a bit of it. And then there's just also, like, you know, a lot in the community. A lot of friends and people I know. I mean, I was hospitalized 18 times from 2010 to 2017. So that's like, yeah, that was like, you know, at least twice a year, right? That I was hospitalized, but in that, I spent a lot of time with other people who was diagnosed with severe depression, severe anxiety, dissociative disorder, bipolar disorder, you know, and it's bipolar, you know, one, two, then there's, you know, the mania, then there's people who are just depressed, and there's people who are manic depressive, like me, they just go up and down. But the schizophrenic, those are some of my best friends that I've met. And one of the things I learned about with kicking with some of them is that when they start telling you their stories and everything, it may not be like true or real, but it's what they feel, what they've seen, and what they're experiencing.
Yeah.
So if you tell them like, no, that's not true, that's what hurts their heart. Mm-hmm. That's what will, like, you know, cause them to, like, you know, be irate or want to, you know, fight over some stuff. It's like, because you denied their truth.
Right.
And in my first year of the MFA program, we had a big conversation about what is truth in writing, truth in fiction. And it's all relative. It's all relative. And like I said, another reason, you know, like I said, I'm magnetic, right? If someone tells me, I meet them and it's like, hey, you know what I'm saying? I just like landed here from, you know, from Mars. I was hanging out with those grimy mofos on Mars and stuff, where they came to the you know, to the moon. I had to leave there and come to Earth. And I am not gonna sit here and say, oh no, that's not true, because I don't know this person. They have no reason to lie to me.
That's right.
So whatever they say is like, okay, that's cool. You know what I'm saying? I feel you. After my first name was Kid Dynamite, and then like in my early like 20s all the way up until like 30s is the BFAP on the being from another planet, the brother from another planet. If you ever seen that film, that's really good with Joe Moore and the brother from another planet, 1976. I think that was when that came out. That was my MC name. But my friend Wally, he passed away back in 2016. He's like, yo, Mo, that's like too long. So I'm just gonna call you the BFAP. Like, okay, it's kind of awkward, but I feel you. So I've used this since then, especially when my visual arts and stuff, I signed things to BFAP.
Nice.
But I digress. I don't forget where I was at. But yeah, everyone has a story to tell, right? And so who are we to say, like, that's not true, right? That's like so many times I found myself, you know, helping other friends, women who have been victims of sexual assault and sexual harassment, right? And if you know, whether the story, like if it were to go to court and everything's hashed out, whether or not it's true or not or whatever, how they feel is what matters, right? Yeah. They feel violated and everything. So to sit there and say, well, did you wear a short skirt? Did you provoke this? Like, what did you do to bring this on? You know, that's re-traumatizing, you know, re-victimization anyway. And it's just not fair. And it doesn't even matter what the outcome is or whatever, because you know, most times we are not in the room to see what was there. It was not that fly on the wall, right? So we don't know. But one thing you do know, when people tell you this stuff, you can feel, you know, their heart, you know, and that's some truth in that. Something went wrong, horribly wrong.
That's right, yeah.
They need help, love, and support. They don't need to be like,
victim, what did you do?
No, that's not cool. Yeah. Not cool. That's like saying, like, so you just sold yourself into slavery? You just like put yourself in chains, got on a boat, came to America.
What did you do to become a slave?
Yeah, what did you do to become a slave? You know what I'm saying? Did you get butt naked? Did you shuck your job on an auction block? What did you do to become a slave?
Go off and looking strong.
Like you wanted to do this. You wanted to come to America and be enslaved. Come on now. Right? Not good.
What are some of the things that you do to take care of your mental health and your physical health? Last week, we were talking about self-care, especially for women and African-American women. It's something that I think we definitely need to step up in and making ourselves a priority. What are some of the things that you yourself in that area?
Oh, yeah. It reminds me, just the other day, I was someone brought up Audre Lorde. And she said at one time that self-care is political, right? It is resistance. It is an act of resistance, just taking care of yourself.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I
have to find like the exact quote or whatever to make more sense. But
I get like, it.
So for me, one of the things that I've learned, right? And it was a process. I remember the very first time I had an appointment with a psychologist. Initially, I didn't know the difference between a psychologist and a psychiatrist, right? One mm-hmm. you talk to, the other one gives you medication.
Right.
But the psychologist asked me, well, was telling me that I have to learn to put myself first. I'm like, but I have a wife, I have a daughter, I have a family, what are you talking about, right? I'm not selfish. It's like, no. It's placing yourself at the center. Bell Hooks talks about it in her 2014 book, All About Love. She talks about love in all these different aspects. And she this wonderful chapter on self-love. And it's placing self at the center. It's not an act of selfishness. It's simply seeing that you are going to put yourself in the center and take care of yourself first, right? And then, you know, this analogy that you can't pour from an empty cup. Well, I'm like, yeah, no, you can pour from an empty cup, and you shouldn't, but you need to go a step further, right? Because if you pour from an empty cup and you do your little self-care routine or whatever, that just get the cup back up to level. You're not, like, overflowing. You need to be overflowing. The cup needs to flow it over in order to really, really give to other people. So then you're giving out a place out of joy, out of love, not out of need and out of want. Right, yeah. Not a codependency and all those type of things. So, but for me, the things that I do for self-care, one, make sure that no matter what I do, because I got this manic energy, that I lay myself down at 10 o'clock every night. I may not go to sleep till like, you know, 2 or 3 in the morning, but I lay down, right? And then I get up at a certain time. Or when I'm in my depressive episodes and it's difficult for me to get up, brush my teeth, wash my behind, all those great, wonderful things, right? It's like, I have to like be adamant and like, okay, cool. I'm going to do 45 minutes. I'm going to be active for an hour. I'm going to be active for 2 hours. That right there, make a small goal and I'm good. So I do that, right? I do work hard at like regulating my sleep. These things I've learned over the years and being in mental health and behavioral therapy, that you need a toolbox, a bunch of different self-care things, right? Because like, if you like to go walking outside in the sun and that's your self-care, well, you know, we live in Alaska, it's winter, you know what I'm saying? You're down in raining or whatever, you can't go outside. You need to have something that you
can find something else
to, right?
Yeah.
So you have to have a bunch of things, right? And for me, when I have poetry every day I write, creatively, it's poem, prose. I practice Kung Fu. That's been something that's like been a part of my life since like 2018. Daily, I brought yoga into the mix about 6 months ago. Okay. Now, and I'm really excited about that. I really enjoy that. And I did the yoga to make my Kung Fu better. I did the Kung Fu to make my writing better, right? And my latest thing is probably gonna, you know, definitely get me through the summer. It's roller skating. Oh my goodness, I had such a good time. It's like I got, well, when I get out there today, it'll be my third day of roller skating. Now I know I've, you know, did it before here and there in life, but it was so infrequent. It's always like starting all over again, right? So now I got
my own. Where did you even find roller skates? I didn't know people still do that.
Yeah, I found them online. I was like, man, I got friends on Instagram now, whatever. They're all over the world, people getting their roller skate on. It's been one of the things that's really popped up here in the pandemic for people to do, right? Because it's definitely socially distancing. You know, you can do it outside, you can do it on your own and stuff. So I do those things. And cooking. Yeah, cooking was a big thing, right? Because I'd be in the hospital and they have us doing collages and stuff. So I would like go through the magazine. Oh, this recipe sounds good, this recipe. When I get out, I'm going to make this little fancy meal, whatever this is. I'm gonna go to the store, buy all these ingredients, things I've never used before, never even heard of before. I'm gonna cook this. And I've done it time and time again. And I follow the recipe and some things still come out really, really horrible. And then sometimes most of them are a hit, right? Most of them are a hit. But that practice alone has one, not only made me a really, really good cook or whatever, but the process of taking time to cook, right? Taking time to prepare food, taking time to like, you know, let the oven heat up, you know, properly. And you know, even if you got to use timers, right? Because, you know, like, people do all of that stuff. You know, throw on some music, drink your wine or whatever, however you turn up or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. And it just, it's a really nice place. So those are the things that I do for self-care. Yeah.
Well, it definitely shows you are a beautiful soul, both inside and out. Mahogany. If you are just joining us, we are here today with MC Mahogany Magnetic, and I'm your host, Christina Michelle. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to hear just a little bit more from Mahogany, and we're going to find out how you can connect with her. We'll be right back. Welcome back to A Juno Afternoon. I'm your host, Christina Michelle, and today's show is a collaboration between KTOO and the Black Awareness Association of Juno. We're here with MC Mahogany Magnetic. And as we close, Mahogany, if you could leave us with one message, what would it be?
While shopping for berries at the produce section, a Facebook friend came with a sincere confession. I kid you not. I tell you no lie, Mahogany. Ever since I've been following you, I got a new house and a color TV. Everyone loves the way I get down. Thanks to you, I'm now the spice around town. Well, there's no reason to thank me, and that's true. You must believe in something. Why not believe in you? I may be shining, but it ain't all about me. Enjoy your new house and color TV. While you're at it, you might as well download my new movie, but for now, you stand in front of bananas I need for my smoothie. Now, I like to play and go full throttle, but I must accept myself as a role model. You see, I can do a lot of things. I can get on the mic and make your body swing, but I wouldn't be a friend at all if I didn't tell you to stand tall in the face of adversity, love others and accept diversity. We're all different and strange, with folks calling us out of our names, saying things that hurt, it's just not so. Have you feeling all down, blue, sad, and low? That's why you speak your voice so they can hear the sound of your frown turning upside down. All cheers for you, the people's champ. Put it in an envelope, seal it with a stamp, with a letter that reads, I am somebody. And don't forget, I may be young, but I deserve respect. I have a right to be happy, weird, nerdy, athletic, introverted, and sassy. As far as I can tell, crack is whack, meth is straight up death, and Spice and Molly are just so lost. And I want to grow up to be the boss of a Fortune 500 or a small bakery. But then I like science, so maybe archaeology. Just question the truth, children. You can be whatever you want to be. Me, I prefer to be a Wonder Woman. When I'm held back, I just keep on coming to arrive at my goals. Who you become, no one else knows. Really, it's your choice. It's your life. Just don't condone the bullying and strife. Try writing your dreams on paper or dust your shoulders off to dismiss the haters. Practice your skateboard or hula hoop. Have a salad, maybe some soup. Take a break from fast food so you can be stronger and in better moods. And remember, even if you don't go to college, no one can ever take away your knowledge. Well, I guess it's said enough. I wish you all the best growing up. So yeah, hugs, not drugs. Be cool, stay in school. You don't need riches when you have wealth. And above all, just be yourself.
That is so beautiful. Mahogany, where can we connect with you and hear more of your poetry, find out what events you have coming up?
Yeah, you can definitely, one of the things I should always say, like, you can always Google MC Mahogany Magnetic. Yeah, M period, C period, M-O-H-A-G-A-N-I, M-A-G-N-E-T-E-K. You can always Google me one, and you'll find a bunch of stuff there, things I don't know about. Then I'm on social media. It's Mahogany Magnetic, which is Facebook. I got a YouTube channel, Tumblr. I don't really do my Twitter too much. It still don't make no sense to me. And Instagram is, you know, the magnetic rotation on Instagram. So my personal page is Mahogany Magnetic, but my fan page on Facebook, business page is the Magnetic Rotation. That's also the name that's on Instagram, is the Magnetic Rotation. So those are easy ways to find me. Other ways, you know, smoke signals work, you know, drum calls, you know, you can just drum, you know, like boom, I hear telepathy. That helps too. You know, you can reach me with telepathy. You know, you can reach me with your heart, you can reach me with your soul. Don't worry. You know what I'm saying? Mahogany Magnetic won't leave you out in the cold. You know. So there's a lot of ways to find me and see what I'm up to, what I'm doing. I'm always into something. Oh my goodness. After this interview, I'm like done. I'm on a staycation until May.
Fantastic.
So in May, I'll be coming back with a $100 cash prize poetry slam at the Writer's Block Bookstore and Cafe. It's a monthly event. We've been doing this since like 2018. It's like 3 years. It's like such a blessing to be emceeing a poetry event for like 3 years. Most time they'll make it like, you know, 2 months, 3 months, six, and it's done over new venue, something else pops up. So we're gonna be getting that back on the road, and some other ideas that I'm working on. I really wanna do the wonderful party this year for Mother's Day. It's something that they do in New York. They have, they play a wonderful party where they play Stevie Wonder music all night. That's the only thing that you hear. And because it's like his birthday or something too, so but I want to do that in May. But looking at it, I'm gonna have to DJ it myself, but I got my little DJ equipment. I'm a full-fledged hip-hop artist, so other than rap, poetry, I DJ with my capoeira, kung fu, ba-wa, you know what I'm saying? I got my breaking in there, and then with the graffiti, I got writing and visual art, so I'm full-fledged hip-hop. And so yeah, but you can always find out, you know, what I'm doing. Always something going on.
Well, I look forward to continuing to connect with you and seeing what you have coming up in the future. Thank you so much, Mahogany, for being with us and for sharing your story, your journey, just things about race, mental health, gender, being a good Shiro, being Wonder Woman in chains, just everything. And I wish you a very relaxing staycation and a great rest of the afternoon. Thank you again. And to our listeners, we appreciate you being here. The Black Awareness Association of Juneau hosts our show each Thursday. So we will see you or be here with you again next week.